You're listening to All the Best. I'm Maddie McQueen. You know when you notice a sound and you just can't unhear it? Like a dripping tap or a ticking clock. I can viscerally recall the feeling of being stuck in a high school classroom in dead silence with nothing to focus on but the questions on my exam paper and the constant ticking of the white plastic wall clock. It used to feel like it was getting louder and louder until I physically could no longer make any brain space at all for any concept of algebra because all I could think about was the ticking and the red second hand and how many ticks it had left before it would get to the top and start again. And then the bell rings and I haven't finished my exam. This episode is about that feeling. When something's repeating and you want it to stop, but it just won't. And there's nothing you can do about it. In our first story, Christina's mind is pulled back and forth between recurring murder dreams, memories of a dying friend, and fish seeking revenge on the fisherman.
It's opening and closing its mouth, like fish do. Not a sound, just opening and closing its mouth and looking at me, staring. And I don't know whether it is looking from inside the tank or whether we are in open sea. But no, I can't somehow distinguish. I feel, I know that there is a glass between us. The way you just know stuff when you're dreaming. The fish is there, staring at me, opening and closing its mouth. And maybe it is looking at me from inside the fish tank. Or maybe I am inside a tank and it is looking at me from the outside, which would mean that I am inside the water. Maybe drowning, maybe pulled down by an invisible force. But before I can explore any further the thought of myself drowning in front of a staring fish, I wake up, as I always do. Now, I'm not scared or agitated. The fish doesn't even enter in the list of my recurring nightmares, which are: number one, someone is trying to kill me with a huge knife and I do not have a place where to hide. Number two, someone is running after me to kill me and I am unable to move my legs. Number three, someone is looking for me to kill me. I am hiding under a table and I see the killer approaching and I know it is a question of moments and he'll discover and kill me. These are the three main nightmare plots that have been haunting me for as long as I can remember, although lately only rarely. Same plot with few variations. When I was very little, the killers were often Turks or Nazis. Too many black and white war movies when I was a child. Sometimes these nightmares were so vivid that I remember waking up very early in the morning and being unable to go back to sleep. I remember being so terrified that nothing helped calming me down. Was itself part of my dream that I was still part of. We can agree that a fish staring at me hardly registers as a nightmare, can't we? The fish is maybe just because all of those BoJack Horseman episodes that I've been watching lately. So, this morning, very early in the morning, or at night, I'm never sure how to put this, I saw a fish. I was still half asleep, but I know that I had the strong feeling that I had to remember the dream in the morning, because I knew that it was important. And as words came to my mind, I tried to resist them, because I know all too well that unless I write them down immediately, our destination. I have a rule. Never think of anything interesting in bed while half asleep, unless you can write it down. Because in the darkness of the night, words have a way to envelop and combine. And you know that the best words will come to you in the moment that you are drifting away in no one's land. And in the morning, you'll have the feeling of having forgotten something important. Did I disobey my rule last night? Why do I have that fish in my mind? For many years, I've only eaten fish, not meat. In fact, if I were to calculate it, I spent more years of my life as a pescetarian. You know what I mean. More years as that than eating meat. I only started eating meat again at one of Addis' parties.
Addis, my friend.
When we all already knew that he was sick, but before knowing that he was terminal, just a matter of months. Immediately before that, and really, each party at Addis was a celebration.
Addis was a celebration of life and joy.
And I think no one believed that he was going to die.
He was going to
die. Not even when he moved to the country and had to carry his intestine to the outside in a bag with those farting noises. And we pretended that it was nothing. And we were all so happy
when he spent a fortune to buy himself a professional camera, because it meant that he believed he had a future. Enough future to invest in an expensive camera. And we wanted so much that he had a future.
So, yes, it was at one of those parties that I started eating meat again. It was a piece of sausage. I hadn't eaten meat for how long? 30 years? Yes, it's about right. But I wanted to tell you about the fish. A big, wet, gray fish that is looking at me, moving its mouth, open and close, like fish do. Its gray, wet skin is not like real, but it is almost cartoonish. Yes, this must have to do with me binge-watching BoJack Horseman. A huge fish, gray and wet, that looks at me in the dark of the night. And another movie comes to mind, a short animation I bumped into late at night in one of those collection of animations that they used to broadcast late at night in summer. Or maybe not. Maybe I watched it at the cinema. The best animations from all over the world. I don't know. I don't remember. But I know that every now and then, the short movie comes to my mind. And I've told and retold the plot so many times at dinner parties for effect. It goes like this. It is night in a small village somewhere north. It is cold. The weather is miserable. The fishermen are getting ready to go out to the sea on their tiny boats. They kiss their wives and kids goodbye and leave their poorly lit, poorly heated huts, disappearing into the night, into the storm, into the raging waves.
Imagine a very dark palette of colors. Blacks, browns, and grays. Okay. After the fishermen leave on their boats, the wives lock the door and go back inside to prepare for the night. And then, in the middle of the night, as they are sleeping with their children, huge fish come out from the sea. They are black, white, and shiny. They walk by standing on their tails and carry huge butcher's knives. And we see how they, an army of them, proceed in entering the fishermen's homes and to slaughter everybody. We see the children screaming and trying to hide under the bed, but the fish pull them out and use the knives to cut their throats. And all the while we think that this is terrible, but that the fishermen are slaughtering the fish's families out at sea. And when the slaughter ends, when also the last child has been butchered, when also the last scream has echoed away, the fish, holding the knives still dripping with blood, they march back to the shore and jump into the water just in time for the first light of the day to appear. Together with the boats of the fishermen, heavy with the catch of the day, their tiny boats full of fish jumping still alive. The end. I've tried many times to find out the title or something. I wouldn't mind watching it again to see whether it is really as terrible as I remember. So, the fish last night. A fish that woke me up and that I have decided, for no apparent reason, to place at the center of my tale. I wish I had some context to give you, to help you understand what it is about. But I am myself at loss when interpreting this image. Maybe it comes from the months we spent in lockdown, trapped inside our homes searching for a meaning, while there were only orders to obey. Do not go out.
Wash your hands.
Sanitize.
Cough inside your elbow. Wear a mask. Print a permit so you can go shopping. Wash your hands. Sanitize. Cough inside
My
your
dreams
elbow.
Were awfully vivid during lockdown. And day and night seemed to converge and to merge in a seamless, meshed time. Mind you, I did try to keep track of times of the day and so. But came the time to go to bed, I was never tired. Sleepy, yes, but never tired. Or maybe was it the opposite? Always tired, but never sleepy. You see, it feels already like I have forgotten what it was like during lockdown. Gone. Removed. Oh yes, I remember how I ran along the beach on the 4th of May, early in the morning, the first day after lockdown. We were all still unsure, wearing masks even while running, back then. Because no one knew back then, and yet I know that despite the sense of oppression and despair, I was also a bit sad when the lockdown was over. I don't know. There was something heroic in taking the shopping to my mom who couldn't go out. And there was something magic and enchanted in walking through empty streets, always fearful something might happen. Will I be stopped by the police to be questioned? Will they ask to see whether I am carrying a self-printed permit? Will they believe that I'm taking the shopping to my mom? Will they call her to check my story? It was a bit like when I went to East Berlin before the wall came down, never sure whether they were going to stop you for a crime you didn't know you had committed, for rules you did not know you had broken. You see, I am doing it again, changing subject from what I had decided that this was going to be about. But I cannot avoid it. As more horrible news arrived from the other side of the world, Australia, where my friends are trapped by yet another lockdown, this time harsher, stricter, with an actual curfew. As horrible thoughts, warning signs remind me that lockdown is just a breath away, pun intended. My thoughts continue to draw circles, visiting my dreams, like huge, menacing, grey, wet fish, waiting for me to fall asleep so that they can get me in my sleep.
You're listening to All the Best. I'm Maddie McQueen. All the Best is about training emerging Australian storytellers in the art of audio. If you'd like to be a part of the show, you can start by pitching to us at allthebestradio.com. We'll pair you with one of our supervising producers to help make your story. In our next story, a supermarket employee calls up the internal complaint hotline to report the strange things that keep happening on their night shifts. I used to work at a supermarket, and the weirdest thing that ever happened to me was when someone came through my checkout and asked, "Hey, how much of your hair falls out in the shower?" Which is actually a really hard thing to quantify. The clump is usually bigger than one of these strawberries, but smaller than like an orange? Maybe it's about the size of this kiwi fruit. Does that answer your question?
This is Score Sales Grocery Employee Concerns Hotline. Please type your store number and employee ID, followed by the hash key.
Hi, it's me again. Just finished work and wanted to fill you in on a little issue we've been having. So we've kind of had this weird noise in the roof lately that only happens at night. It's probably just possums or something. But there's been stains on the roof and customers are starting to complain a bit about the smell. Nasty stuff. Well, not too nasty, but, you know, not nice. Anyway, the other day we had one of those rent-a-kill people come in to resolve the issue. He came in all very professional, no smiles. He even had his own fancy pen that he signed in with, like flat out refused to use ours, which is a little rude, but... It was a nice pen, though. I will admit, his penmanship was quite impressive. Very fancy cursive. But yes, he seemed quite passionate about his job, so there's no way he just didn't do anything. But nothing's really changed since he, you know, went to go fix it. So I thought I'd call you. I know that the procedure is to bring in to my line manager, Mark, but he starts at 9 a.m. and I usually finish at 2:30 a.m. So we never really, you know, cross paths. I asked around for his email, but no one seems to have it. So I left a note and it was gone the next day, but I haven't heard anything yet. So... And you know what? That handwriting was different. I swear that handwriting was different. Like, I didn't see him sign out, like, at all. But he did sign out. And it's just, he used our pen this time, which he seemed super uncomfortable doing earlier. And the writing was all chicken scratch. And it was just so different from how he did all the fancy stuff when he signed in. And something felt... Oh! There's a crow on the tram. with me. Seems confident. I might just go tell the tram driver. Just in case. Yes. Okay. Thank you. I hope you get back to me soon. And have a lovely night.
Thank you, employee 87351, for your inquiry. As always, we hope you have a lovely day. This is Score Sales Grocery Employee Concerns Hotline. Please type your store number and employee ID, followed by the hash key.
Hi, it's me again. I'm just calling to inquire about information regarding overtime work. I'm not really sure how to obtain overtime payment. Like, I'm not even sure I should be working overtime, but it feels like I'm expected to stay, even though I'm like technically done with my shift. And I know it's overtime is a thing, so I should be getting paid, logically. But no one's really telling me how to... Oh! Hi! Hi, Mark!
Huh?
How are you going? Yeah, oh, you're on your break too? Having a cup of morning tea? Always nice.
Yeah, whatever, yeah.
Anyways, Janice, you know my favourite mug that I mentioned that I keep at work? The Snufkin one. Well, I'm not one to complain about people not doing the dishes, but my mug was in the sink, which means someone used it, but everyone knows not to use my mug because it's my mug. But the mug was like, it was different, like I think, but... Obviously, it didn't change or anything, but also, like, I don't remember there being a little person in the background in the tent or, like, the puddle in the corner. Let me describe it for you. So this is, like, my favourite mug. So it's got a little snufkin on it, and he's got his little hands on his waist, and in the background there's this little tent. It's very cute. But I swear that the tent was always empty, but, like, I'm looking at it now, and there's definitely someone inside. Isn't that weird, the things you notice? Like... You know there's something so normal that you see every day and then you notice something different about it. Isn't that kind of great? Oh, just so you know, the stains are still on the roof. They've started leaking water, which is kind of weird because it hasn't rained in a few weeks, but I'm sure it'll get fixed eventually. Might be burst pipe or something. But it's fine at the moment, I guess. Just there's a little bit of leaks. Oh, sorry if your name is actually Janice, that'd be a little weird. I won't be calling again at work, so thank you.
Thank you, employee 87351, for your inquiry. As always, we hope you have a lovely day. This is Sklets or Grocery Employee Concerns Hotline. Please type.
Hi, it's me again. I'm not sure what else to do. I called 000, but all I got was radio static and some bits of music. I don't know, it was kind of weird. But I got through to you, so that's good. I know the protocol is to tell the security guard, but he was just kind of staring into space, and when I tried to talk to him, he couldn't move. I couldn't find any of the other employees. Like, the guy I was working with in service went to the bathroom. Came back, and then he wasn't in the bathroom, and the deli people weren't there, but there's this... customer, I think, walking around the store, and he's leaving this trail of water, I'm pretty sure, and it's kind of, I know this sounds silly, but, it's more water than makes sense. He's drenched to the bone, and water is just pooling beneath him and not stopping, which is a real hazard, you know. We don't have enough signs for that, and he wasn't really responding. He seemed very troubled and was limping, so I asked if he wanted an ambulance, and then he ignored me. But then he kept asking for meat, and I was like, the deli section's over there, but he was like, no meat, and I was like, I don't know what you want. And he didn't clarify any further. Then he turned back to the shelf, which wasn't meat. But yeah, he was just kind of looking at them. So I decided that I had done my due diligence and that I would come here to the supply closet. Haven't seen a customer in 15 minutes, other than that customer, of course. I didn't see him come in there, because, like, I'm right near the entrance, and there's only, like, one entrance and exit before 5 a.m., but I didn't see him come in. Like, I may have been too focused on the chill, but the trail of water didn't even lead from anywhere near the entrance.
Meek.
I'm sorry, sir. This is staff only.
Meek?
I'm afraid there's no meat in here. This is just cleaning supplies.
Thank you, employee. 87351. Inquire.
Hi, I didn't think anyone...
Hi, employee 87351. This is the CEO of Mirror Glasshole Consent Hotline, and I'd like to start off by saying we love to hear your queries, and we're so glad to have honest communication at our company. In regards to the issue absence of the Rent-A-Kill employee contracted for August 18th, I filed your concern into their system, so hopefully that'll be sorted quick as a fox. If further issues arise, unfortunately, we'll be unable to help as the case is in their hands. They should be in contact with your line manager within the next 8 to 10 weeks. Have a lovely day.
Oh, wait, just hold on a second.
Thank you for using the Skorseld Grocery Employee Concerns Hotline. As part of our team, we want to hear your feedback and concerns. If you have time to finish our short survey, please select 1. Thank you for choosing to take our 20-part survey. Question 1. Was your concern resolved? Select 1 for yes. Select 2 for no. Select 3 for needs ongoing support.
That story was written by Rowan Middleo, with sound design by Ollie Krusek. It was performed by Rowan Middleo, Ollie Krusek, Meg Kelly, and Paul Waxman. Ryan Pemberton was the supervising producer. All the Best would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which we make these stories and pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging. All the Best is made at FBI Radio in Sydney in association with SYN and 3RRR in Melbourne. This episode was mixed and compiled by Gemma Lipman. Our executive producer is Ryan Pemberton. Mel Chun is our Victorian State Coordinator. The All the Best Community Coordinators are Chloe Gillespie and Danny Stewart. Our SYN Community Coordinator is Lee Robinson. Matilda Fay and Angela Moran are our social media producers. Shining Bird composed our theme music and Annie Hamilton designed the artwork. We're heard across Australia on the Community Radio Network and were made possible by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. You can find out more at cbf.org.au. You can find more episodes by searching for All the Best wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Maddie McQueen. Thanks for listening.